What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another KO Breakdown here on the Playmaker Podcast Network. I'm your host, the Fight Analyst, Garrett Kerman. With me, as always, is my man, Joe Danger himself, Jesse Hobson. What's up, man? How's it going?
Jesse, you wish you were in my shoes. Hobson, like, calls it like I sees him. Kick me out of your chat because I am all that. What is up, my man, Garrett Kerman? I looked it up, 5-6 last week for me. Not my best week, not my worst week. And then for you, we have 7-4. So, you know, a little bit improvement is needed.
Yes.
But, you know, I'll like I said at the top of the hour, the top of the show, I am not a capper. I sit on the crapper talking my shit because I am that shit. What is up, man? Let's talk some fights. I'm happy to be here. I'm here to wake you up, man. I got my coffee ready.
Oh, man.
You know, my Selena cup. You know, it is what it is, daddy-o.
Well, I'm glad that you're here with me, as always, every single week, breaking down fights. And I am running on fumes right now. 5:30 in the morning, I've been up. It's 9:30 right now. We normally do this a little bit earlier, but I had a jam-packed night of podcasting, which I absolutely love to do. I love... I'm not going to say I don't. I love podcasts. I love
it's
podcasts.
The fun part of it.
It's the fun part of my job, right? You know, the first half of my day, I do some shit I don't want to do. But the other part of the day is the best part of the day, right? The best shit I love to do. And that's talking to you guys about fights, breaking them down, putting money in your pocket. This is what I live for. This is what I love to do. We got UFC 283 on tap this weekend, right? In Brazil. 15-fight card for the first pay-per-view of 2023. If I had to put this on the scale, I'll give it about a 7.5, close to an 8 on as a pay-per-view scale. I think we got some really good fights, some clunker of fights. But overall, I think it's a pretty good, it's a decent fight card to start the new year. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, I like the card. I mean, there's a little bit of a storyline for every fight, maybe except for one. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, if you watch LFA, you know, you watch these, a lot of these guys come up, you know, you watch Contender, you've seen a few of these guys before. And then you got the title fights. You got, you know, some that were just made on a whim. And then you have the quadrilogy fight that, I mean, I'm not really all that interested in, but I mean, every fight has delivered as far as those previous three. So, you know, it could be a worse fight, but, yeah, you know, it's like you take the good with the bad and, you know, it's just nice to have a decent pay-per-view card in front of us.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a late one. Let's put it that way. Like, I'm expecting this fight card is probably not going to end until at least 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. So, I kind of have to take a nap in between the main event at some points. I mean, the main card. So I'll probably take a nap during the Andrade Murphy fight. So then I can wake up for the Burns and Magny. Probably actually scratch that. I'm probably going to fall asleep between Andrade until the co-main event. And then we'll get the co-main and the main going on there. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it's going to be a good fight card. And let's get right down into the breakdown. All right. So our first fight up on the prelims, I think the early prelims, is a fight in the bantamweight division between Daniel Marcos and Simon Oliveira right now. The line is -145 for Oliveira to come back on Marcos, +125. Who do you got?
Wow, okay. So a little bit of money has been coming in on Marcos, which is nice to hear. You know, these guys are fairly evenly matched, and it's pretty ridiculous, actually. This is kind of one of the fights that I was talking about that doesn't exactly have a storyline. Oliveira obviously lost to some better competition when facing Tony Gravely, but Marcos has faced some pretty decent competition as well. Both guys are coming from Contender, and they will have their moments. Because of the closeness, though, I'm taking the dog in this one. Also, he has the height and reach advantage. I'm thinking we're going to have a razor-thin decision. So regardless of who gets their hand raised, everyone will complain. I like Marcos by decision. I like either guy by decision, so maybe take the over, maybe take the decision. But I was thinking Marcos earlier, +165, +170. Now that it's closer to +120, I can't really say dog or pass. I would just go with your heart in this one.
Yeah, or you could just not bet on this fight altogether.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm going to do, because I you know, I can't fathom. You have Marcos, he opened as a minus 156 favorite, actually. And, you know, the money came in on Oliveira.
Yep.
And it flipped it, and now we're sitting at minus, you know, around minus 145 to plus 120 on the comeback. But it's a close fight. I mean, both are, you know, Muay Thai strikers. I think Marcos has got a little bit better movement. I think he's got more of his arsenal. I think he's a little bit faster as well. But we've also seen him fade in fights. We've seen him in the Contender Series fight against Brandon Lewis. He started to fade in the fight that he was solely winning fairly easily. I mean, it was a pretty easy fight for Marcos. Oliveira came in and fought, you know, Tony Gravely. That's extremely hard fight for your debut fight. You know, to get somebody like Gravely, and then, you know, granted you lost, but, you know, you put him in some dangerous positions with all those guillotine attempts and that. I mean, you know, it's got to be for something there. And I thought he's definitely fought the better competition between the two. And he's got more experience. He's fought more often as well, even though he's been out for almost a year. And I don't know, man. I think he's got more paths to victory to get the job done. So ultimately, I'm siding with Oliveira, but I'm going to pass altogether in terms of betting on this fight.
Yeah, I don't blame you, honestly.
Hold on. Yeah, Forrest Daniels, as always, Carrot, a.k.a. Neo, and Jesse, a.k.a. Horror King, bringing the spicy heat picks. You know it, always spicy. Okay, moving on. Moving on. The next fight up is also in the men's bantamweight division between Luan Lacerda and Cody Stamann. Right now, Stamann minus 365 to come back on Lacerda. +300, what do you got?
Number one, what's up, Forrest Daniels? Number two, thank you for mentioning the fact that I didn't realize the line had flipped, because when I first saw the Marcos thing, he was plus 165, so it's kind of interesting that the line flipped, and then now it's like flipping back. So pretty cool. But to this fight, okay, Cody Stamann. You know, Lacerda coming into this one with a hell of a reach advantage, you can't not acknowledge that. And while that may be helpful early on, I'd expect Stamann to wrestle fuck this guy as soon as the moment arises. Here's the thing though. Lacerda could find a submission if Stamann messes up and finds himself on his back. But my money is on the Spartan getting it done by decision. The line's a little too wide, so I'm not betting it. But if I had to pick someone to win and how they're going to win, I'm going to assume Stamann by decision.
Yeah, I'm siding with Stamann as well. I mean, they have to think highly of Lacerda to put him up against somebody that was fringe top 15, somebody that's been in the top 15 already. And he's very dangerous on the mat. I think he's got majority of his wins are by submission. You know,
like the last five are at least
majority of them. I think 10 of his 12 wins are by submission, if not 11.
That's wild.
He's got legit jiu-jitsu skills. He's a submission threat. So that's where I think Stamann's going to want to stay away from. He's not going to want to go and take this fight to the mat. He's going to want to utilize his wrestling to keep this fight on the mat. I mean, on the feet, where he has a huge advantage. Lacerda is not a good striker by any means. Stamann should be able to run away with this on the feet. Granted, you know, Lacerda trains with Jose Aldo, but they don't fight remotely similar whatsoever, especially in terms of the striking. So as long as Stamann keeps his fight on the feet, it's his fight to lose. The moment he takes his fight to the mat, then that's when things start to get a little bit dicey. So ultimately, I think I'll take Stamann here via decision at minus 140. I don't think it gets the knockout that Lacerda's tough enough to hang in there. So yeah, giving Cody Stamann to win via decision at minus 140. All right, next fight up is in the women's featherweight division. That's right, you heard that correctly. The women's featherweight division. For no fucking reason. Between Josiane Nunez and Zara Farron, right now the line is minus 540 for Nunez to come back on Farron +420. Who do you got?
Yeah, I think we all know who is winning this fight. seems like every couple of months, Farron gets thrown to the wolves. You know, those fights usually get canceled.
She hasn't fought since 2020.
Yeah, but I think there's like
and four her last fights. And you know what crazy is? Her last two fights were against girls that retired. Not just got cut, retired.
But then there's like four fights between that got canceled.
Right.
So yeah,
you're right.
Which is why it's just wild because I can't tell you how many times I've looked into this fighter and the fight never happens. So, I mean, if any fight does get canceled, I would probably assume it would be this one. either way, though, this is not a walk in the park. This is another being thrown to the wolves. Yep. Nunes is coming into this on a hell of a streak, 8 in a row with two of them inside the octagon. Farron's recent losses come inside the distance, and I don't think this one will be any different. She's aging. Her opponent is hungry. Look for Nunes to attack and find the finish. I think Nunes finds the KO, again, if this fight happens.
Yeah, I know, if this fight happens. I'm in the same notion, too. I mean, this is obviously a showcase fight. They want Nunes to win, and they want the Nunes versus Nunes featherweight championship of the world. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to be Josiane Nunes versus Amanda Nunes getting it done. I'm telling
Nunes
you.
Squared.
It's Nunes squared. That's exactly what we're getting. I'm expecting a knockout here. Yes, yep. an early knockout, probably inside two rounds. You know, Nunes win by knockouts -135, I believe. I think that you get a ton of great value there, considering you're cutting that juice all the way down. I mean, come on, how is she not knock her out? I mean, like, let's be honest. It's not like she hasn't been smaller than her opponents. She's been smaller than almost everybody. She fought Bay Malecki, who was an accomplished kickboxer in her own right. Knocked her clean the fuck out. Clean out. And that's a tall bitch, all right?
Yeah.
So if she could do that to Bay Malecki, she could definitely do that to Zarafran, who hasn't fought in fucking 3 years. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's just the way it goes. Give me Nunes here. I don't think they really need to go too in-depth with this. She wants to be a knockout. All right. Next fight up is in the welterweight division between Warley Alves and Nicholas Dalby. Right now, Alves is a slight favorite, -125 to come back on Dalby, +105. What do you got?
You know, both guys have had their ups and downs as of late, but I didn't realize Dalby is damn near 40 years old. You know, how do you beat Daniel Rodriguez but lose to Tim Means? Ultimately, I'm going to have to side with the youth in this one. You know, Dalby is a tough customer, but so is Alves. I expect Alves to land something heavy and follow it up. You know, Dalby is strong and he'll hang in there. We'll see what happens, but if both guys can make it to the third round, I'd expect the youngin, or I guess the younger of the two, to have enough cardio to make a statement. I like Alves by decision, but at the same time, a late finish isn't out of the cards as well.
Yeah, I agree with that notion as well. We know Dalby, you know, he's very inconsistent. He fights maybe like once a year, and rightfully so. He's 30 years old. And then he goes against Claudio Silva, right? And gives up 4 takedowns to Claudio Silva in 2022. That's fucking bad. He's got terrible takedown defense. Warley Alves is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. He's got the submission game to make Dalby, you know, nervous when it hits the mat. And he's still got power on the feet, too. We forget that he knocked out Munir Lazez as well. So, I mean, there's definitely more paths to victory for Alves than there is for Dalby. Dalby literally has to stay on the outside and kick for 15 minutes and win, which I don't expect him to do. So give me Alves to get the job done, -125.
Simple as that, boys.
Yeah. Keeping it simple, bro. Keeping it simple. All right, next fight up in the men's lightweight division, we have a fight between Terrence McKinney and Ismael Bonfim. Right now, the line is -125 for McKinney, +105 for Bonfim. What do you got?
Is it just me, or is McKinney a one-trick pony?
Wait. Where's Daniels? He took my advice. Bernardo by decision. Let's go. And that's good for point. That's for Invicta FC last night, which was a fan fucking tastic card. But anyways, moving on. As you were saying.
Yeah, I don't think McKinney is bad by any means, but if he can't get the knockout, you know, he tends to lose. Is it Bonfim?
Bonfim.
Bonfim?
I think it's Bonfim.
Bonfim. Bonfim, you know, he's the more well-rounded fighter in this one, and I think he is intelligent enough to avoid McKinney's big blows. And probably drags him to later rounds. It is very possible that McKinney finds the chin, but I'll take well-rounded over a puncher's chance any day. Well, most days, and Saturday is that day. I like Bonfim by decision. I just feel like, McKinney is good, but Bonfim is. It's just these guys. It's just their time. Like I don't know, changing of the. The guard, but you know, I know McKinney's new, but I think it's just a Bonfim kind of card.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at Forrest Daniels, Chance McKinney has great wrestling in 1.5 rounds with Gardner, which he is completely correct with that. McKinney does have great wrestling and a good submission game. He's got 8 wins via submission. I think he's going to want to utilize that wrestling and submission game here because Bonfim is a Brazilian national boxing champion, so he has that boxing background. He's been boxing his entire life, but he's not just a boxer. He's got submissions in his pocket too. He's very well rounded. Trains over Cerrada MMA, which you know, Gilbert Burns and Herbert Burns trains there, as well as Vicente Luque. So they've been getting in a ton of great, you know, great looks. Been training with those guys for the longest time, and that's why they're kind of like a Vicente Luque, right? They have those sneaky chokes, those Darce chokes, like the Von Flu choke that his younger brother, Gabriel Bonfim, was able to snatch up in the Contender Series. And then they have vicious striking abilities. You look at Ismael Bonfim, he beat Abasov the fuck up on the feet. He fucked him up. And that was a beautiful performance. A lot of people were taking Abasov in that fight, not me. But yeah, and I'm gonna have to side with Bonfim here too. I know it's not great to want to take a Contender Series alumni on their, you know, in their debut against a guy that's got 3 wins and 1 loss, and his only loss is against a, you know, a top 15 fighter, right? But I feel like McKinney needs to get the job done round one, right? So my best strategy here is live bet. Live bet is my Bonfim after round one, because I'm expecting McKinney to gas after round one, which he always does. The last time he went wrestle heavy and left round one, Sean Woodson, he got fucking dog walked. He got knocked the fuck out, and I'm expecting that to happen if he does the same here. So give me Ismael Bonfim to win, but I'm not betting. You should not bet him until after round one, because Terrence McKinney is most dangerous in round one, and that's where I feel like his best path to victory is getting that early finish. All right, let's keep it moving. Our next fight up is in the heavyweight division between Jalton Almeida and Shamil Abdurakhimov. I'm sure I butchered the fuck out of that name. Right now, Almeida is a massive minus 1,100 favorite, and the comeback on Shamil plus 650. Who do you got?
You know, we have those fighters on this show where we kind of like talk about them a lot, and you know, as bad as Shamil is, he's one of those guys. I feel like I need like a standee of him behind me. You know what I mean? Kind of like Ariel, like he has like just questionable props, like
yeah.
I need like a Shamil head. Well, I'm honestly
big ass head.
I'm not even sure we really need to break this one down. You know, no. Kind of a passing of the torch fight, sneaking in Brazil's next big talent while also showcasing two Brazilian title fights. You know, Almeida, you know, he's the real deal, and Shamil is old. And he has a big ass head. Shamil's best fights are behind him. And yeah, this one's going to be a bloodbath. Almeida probably round one KO. I mean, it's very possible that he does find a sub, but because of Shamil's head, I just can't imagine him not
looking for the three KO. And three straight knockout losses to boot. You know,
yeah,
I feel like
it has to happen.
Like Almeida definitely can take him down and sub him if he wanted to, but I feel like just one punch from Almeida might just run right through him. Just one punch could knock him out. Because like I said, he's got a big ass head. It's a huge ass fucking target. Everybody knocks him the fuck out. And I'm expecting that the same here. You know, I'm expecting more of the same. I think Almeida to win in round one is ridiculous. It's minus 220, I think. So I would take a stab on Almeida to win by knockout in round one, which is plus 300. Or you could take Almeida to win by sub in round one, which is plus 115. I would take a stab at either one of those two, but he's definitely getting the win inside one round. Maybe even inside 60 seconds. Who fucking knows?
It's going to be a sad day when Shamil gets released.
Yeah, just after this. This would be the last one.
R.I.P.
All right. We're up to our next fight in the welterweight division between Gabriel Bonfim and Munir Lazzez. Right now, the line is minus 165 for Bonfim to come back on Lazzez, plus 140. What do you got?
A lot like his brother's fight, I feel like Bonfim, you know, in this matchup is the well-rounded fighter. Lazzez, you know, he has finishing power, but if he can't connect, you know, what next? I feel like if Bonfim can get this fight to the mat, he'll finish Lazzez, and I don't think he'll be uncomfortable on the feet either. This should be a fun one. You know, I think this will probably be more fun than his brother's fight, but I can't imagine Lazzez getting the better of Gabriel after losing to Alves.
I know. I mean, that's just a telling loss, right? And then, yeah, he beat Al Hassan, but Al Hassan gassed the fuck out. And then his only other win is on Jalusa. I mean, not the greatest of wins, let's be honest. And Gabriel Bonfim, 13-0, undefeated prospect. All 13 wins have come inside the distance. Another national boxing champion over there in Brazil. So he's got the boxing pedigree. He's got the striking background to go toe-to-toe with Lazzez, who's also a great kickboxer in his own right. Super tall, super lanky, and for the most part, durable, other than the Alves fight. And he utilizes his reach very, very well. And he's going to need that in this fight because Bonfim not only is a great striker, he's a great grappler as well. Like I said, he reminds me more of Vicente Luque because he can mix in the takedowns and the sneaky chokes like he did in the Contender Series fight with the Von Flu choke. You know, that's not an easy choke to get, and he was able to get that within the first round. Very fucking impressive there. And I think he's going to be able to mix it up more. He's got 10 wins via submission, 3 wins via knockout. I think he goes in there and gets another submission win under his belt. All right, next
yeah,
up.
Yeah, me too. I didn't say that, but I think it's a sub as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, who has Lazzez really fought that's, like, a decent grappler? No one?
Yeah, I couldn't really look. I couldn't find anybody.
All right. Moving on in the lightweight division, we have a fight between Thiago Moises and Molecozal and Costa. What the fuck? Okay, I know I butchered that. Bad. All right. Right now, Moises. Oh, where the fuck is his line? Moises minus 365 to come back and cost up plus 300. Who do you got?
Yeah, I feel like this one is too much of a step up for Costa. I think he's a great prospect, but I'm just not sure he's going to have an answer for Thiago's, like, elusiveness or his movement. You know, here's the thing, though. Thiago has shit the bed before, but I wouldn't count him on getting outpointed in this one. Again, Costa could probably win this fight one day. I just don't see it being on Saturday. I like Thiago Moises by decision. And I love this addition of Costa to the roster. I think he's a great fighter. I'm excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, this is, like I said, a massive step up in competition. Moises literally just has to fight smart. What he did against Thiago's, gets the win. Because Costa doesn't have good takedown defense. The way he gets up is normally in scrambles. not utilizing, underhooks and, the more traditional way of getting back to your feet, utilizing the cage and all that good stuff. No, he utilizes scrambles, but getting in scrambles with Moisés, who is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu world champion, is not good. It's not smart because he's going to probably just take your back and sink in a rear naked choke, and that's all she wrote. But on the feet is where he has the advantage. He's a really good striker, nasty kicks. That's where I think he's going to need to keep this fight, but I don't think he's going to be able to keep it there. I think Moisés fights smart, takes it to the mat, sinks in the rear naked choke, and gets the dub, keeps it moving. All right. Next fight up, we have a fight in the middleweight division between Gregory Rodriguez and Bruno Ferreira. Right now, the line is -305 for Rodriguez to come back on Ferreira, +255. What do you got?
Massive props to Ferreira for stepping up and accepting this fight, as Rodriguez has the height and reach advantage coming into this one. I just can't fathom a contender guy coming in on short notice to do what so many have tried to do and stop the RoboCop. He's lived up to the name so many times, and with all of the advantages in this one, I think he does it again. But he'll probably do it a little bit easier this time. I like Rodriguez by KO. We'll see, but I think that he gets it done.
Yeah, I mean, Ferreira, this is such a massive step up for competition.
Yeah.
I mean, night and day, he's, 5 inches taller than him. He's got a 3-inch reach advantage for Rodriguez. He's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, if he wants to even take it there.
Yep.
He packs more of a punching power. He's more technical in his striking abilities, and his defense is better as well. Bruno's just going to come in there and try to brawl till he falls. It's pretty much what's going to happen. And I'm expecting Rodriguez to knock him out in the first round. Rodriguez by first round knockout is at +300. I'll take that all fucking day of the week. And because I feel like that's one of the better plays on at least on this fight card. Question from our Forrest Daniels. My only question is, both of you, what three fighters on the card would you parlay on Saturday? Well, it depends on what you're looking for. Do you want, safe money, or do you want some decent odds? Because if we want safe, you can do like a Cody Stamann, Gregory Rodriguez, and, Josiane Nunez. Those feel pretty safe. And you could throw, Jalton Almeida in there to make it a four-bagger. But if you want like a juicy parlay for a three-piece, right? You can throw the Bonfim brothers together, and you can throw my boy John Walker in that mix, and you can make it +400. Oh, David, I'm telling you, I'm all over those Cowboys. +165 on the money line. I'm telling you, them boys are hitting on the money line. +165. Brock Purdy ain't no Purdy no more. No Purdy.
How many units? How many units on Cowboys?
I'm just got a nice little one unit. Don't go too crazy. But +165 is, you got Dak going against, Brock Purdy. We'll get into that another time. But yeah,
different podcast.
Different podcast, different time. But yeah, I got Cowboys winning that too. All right, moving on. I think we are in our featured bout on the prelims between Shogun Hua and Ior Pretoria. I know I butchered that as well. Right now, the line is -205 for Ior. The comeback on Shogun, +175. Who you got?
It's every time you say his name, I think of like the donkey from fucking.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. From Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it. I'm not really sold on Ihor, but I feel like he makes a statement here. Hua is 41 years old. He's showing it, especially in his last three fights. Well, his last two especially. I don't expect Ihor to pull off anything crazy, but he's young and big enough to be one step ahead of the aging veteran. I hope I'm wrong, as I would love to see Hua get his hand raised one last time, especially in Brazil. I like Ihor by KO. I'm not betting it just because I'd like to see Hua win, but yeah, one more for the old guy.
Yeah, definitely I could bet this fight because I'm not trusting my money on either one of these two. Shogun almost tore his ACL the other day trying to kick a fucking soccer ball and falling over some sign or some shit like an idiot. And then Ihor is just terrible fighter, not UFC caliber. Lost his first fight against Nick Negamarano, so that's not a good look in his own right, getting knocked out in that fight. You know, and I can't fathom to lay -205 on him either. So granted, if I were to bet, I'd probably side with him because he's got the youth on his side, less wear and tear. He's probably packs more of a punching power. He's faster, yada, yada, yada. And then Father Time is punching Shogun in the face. So, but I want Shogun to win. I want him to go out and get his last dub before he, you know, rides off into the sunset. So, come on, Shogun. One time. One more time for us.
It's definitely a winnable fight, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to give him a winnable fight. They're trying. We'll see if he gets it done. All right, our next fight up is in the light heavyweight division between Johnny Walker and Paul Craig. Right now, Walker -190 to come back on Craig, +160. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, Paul Craig seems to be one step behind lately. And while I want to assume Walker can finish the Scotsman, it's hard. It's very difficult to put my hard-earned money on anyone named after a country's favorite liquor. Walker is dumb. He's so dumb, in fact, that obviously you guys all know the story. He injured himself during a post-fight celebration. And if this goes to the ground, which I'm betting that it does, Walker should be easy work for the submission wizard, Paul Craig. Wouldn't it be something if Craig breaks his arm on the same card that Jamahal Hill is headlining? I like Paul Craig by submission. Johnny Walker's just too dumb, Garrett. He's too dumb, and you're falling for it. The Vegas doesn't gift you anything, buddy.
I mean, they're not gifting us a great line. I mean, it's not -190 now, but I just think Paul Craig is just he's got one way to win. Way to win. And if he doesn't get that, he loses every single time. That's not an MMA fighter. That's a jiu-jitsu fighter. Last time I fucking checked. Johnny Walker is actually only been subbed once in his entire career. He doesn't have terrible submission defense. Paul Craig can't ever get a fight to the fucking mat without having to drag you there some way, somehow. He's got awful offensive wrestling. And look what happened in the Usmir fight. If he can't get it to the mat, he gets tired, he fades, and he just falls to his fucking back and just does absolutely fuck all. And that's what I'm expecting him to do. I'm expecting him to do fuck all in there because he can't get it to the mat. Johnny Walker also has 3 inches of height and 6 inches of reach on him. All right. Another red flag for Paul Craig. The moment he lost that last fight, he switched camps. Why would you switch camps when you just got your black belt from them just 2 fights ago? Like, you were doing all this well, and the moment you lose a fight, you have to change camps? How does that make sense? And on top of it, that new camp doesn't have any UFC caliber fighters. Training with a lightweight, a welterweight, and then the light heavyweight that he's training with is a fucking amateur. You know, I don't like fighters that have to move camps right after an L as if the camp's the problem when you've been with them forever, winning with them. And then they're the problem. It's not you. No, it's the camp. It's the coaches. It's everything else. It's not just you sucking. It's them sucking. Okay. It is what it is. But I'm taking Johnny Walker here. I think he gets a knockout inside 2 rounds. We know Paul Craig needs a sub. If he doesn't get it, he's getting knocked the fuck out. And I got Walker knocking him the fuck out. Let's see what happens.
All right. One or two ways to get that fight is going down.
Yeah, yeah. It's either knockout, sub. There's no in between. Really isn't. All right. In the women's flyweight division, we have a fight between Jessica Andrade and Lauren Murphy. Right now, Andrade -490 to come back on Murphy, plus 390, who do you got?
Hold on 1 second. Okay. Murphy once again proved to the doubters, my co-host Garrett Kerman included, that she can hang, you know, with her recent win over Misha Tate. And while I can't fault anyone for taking a stab on Murphy in this one, Andrade won't come into this one slow and sluggish as Tate did. I imagine the first round being fairly competitive, but as soon as Andrade is done horsing around, she should be able to make or take over at will. Didn't she fight Caitlin Chookagian not too long ago? Yeah, I feel like this fight is actually going to be very reminiscent of that fight. I like Jessica Andrade by KO victory, probably round two.
Yeah, I'm keeping this short and sweet. Andrade knocks her the fuck out, and that's it. That's pretty much it. I mean, the only power puncher that Murphy has faced in her entire career was Valentina Shevchenko, and she's not like a power puncher. And now she faces a real fucking power puncher at 38, 39 years old. Yeah, no bueno. And the thing is, she doesn't need to hit you in the face to knock you out. She can hit you to the body and knock you out like she did to Caitlin Chookagian. All right. So this woman has got power. You're talking about someone that's knocked out one of the smallest straw weights, right? And one of the biggest lightweights, Larissa Pacheco. She knocked out. I mean, she's got big girl power, right?
Yeah.
So give me Andrade by knockout. Plus 150 all the way up to plus 200. That's a fucking value right there, man.
That shit's a value right there, man.
Right? All right. Moving on to our feature bout on the main card in the welterweight division between Gilbert Burns and Neil Magny. Right now, Burns minus 460. Come back on Magny plus 370. Who do you got?
Yeah, you know, Burns has been a cash cow for me. You know, we've predicted him right probably since 2019. We won't talk about his brother, though. As much as I want to take a stab on Magny, Burns should be very able to get him to the ground and grind him out for three rounds. I'm assuming this one is very similar to the Wonderboy fight, another boring decision.
I actually think Burns finishes him. I think he gets a submission. And the submission
really,
and the submission is plus 200. Magny's been submitted before,
yeah,
and I think he can be submitted again. I mean, I think Burns needs to make a statement here, right? He can't win another boring decision. He already did that with Wonder Boy, but now he needs to make a statement because there's people that are leapfrogging him that hasn't beat anyone up, you know, in front of him. You know, you have Bilal Muhammad who just leapfrogged him, right? By beating Sean Brady, who was, what, eighth ranked. So now he's like, what the fuck? How are you leapfrogging me, but you haven't beaten anybody ahead of me? And I understand it both ways because Burns also isn't beating anybody that's ranked ahead of him. But on the other hand, he's on this big win streak, and he's beating guys who are at least ranked, so they kind of ranked him ahead of him. Hearsay, theirsay. But I think he needs to make a statement here, and I think he does make a statement. I think gets submission win, and that's plus 200. I think I'll take a stab at that.
I mean, he had some hands against Hazmat. I mean, a KO isn't too far out of line either.
No,
but let's see how big of a statement he wants to make.
Make it easier, though. Take him to the mat and just sink in the rear naked choke, and that's all she wrote, you know?
Yeah, that's his bread and butter, too. I think, obviously Magny's a little bit difficult to get hands on as far as the chin, but I mean, a statement is a statement is a statement. I mean, right. Burns definitely does need it, as you
he does
thoroughly I mean, explained.
Yeah, he does. I mean, like I said, you got guys that are going ahead of him that arguably shouldn't, if we're going by the way that, you know, rankings should work. But I feel like a statement here will, I think, honestly, it should be Burns versus Bilal next if Burns get the dub, because that's a fucking fantastic fight. That's a fantastic fight to make. Anyways, that's for another day. All right, we're finally up to our co-main event of the evening for the men's flyweight championship of the world, the fourth and hopefully last installment between Davidson Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. I believe I can't even find the line right now. It's not on this page.
It was a pick 'em last I looked.
I think it's -120 for Moreno.
Oh, yeah. Because overnight, the line moved. The line moved quite a bit.
Yeah, money's coming in on Moreno. It's -125 for him to come back on Figueiredo, +105. What do you got?
Glory Hole MMA at it again. You know, obviously, this one is regardless of what the odds say. You know, Moreno seems to have figured out the Rubik's Cube that is Figueiredo. But in this one, I don't know. I think Figgy is the side. With all of the drama coming from Moreno's camp, who is to say where his head is even at? And sometimes, you know, like, I love Moreno. I loved him even when he got released by the UFC. But there are times where he is less polished than most champs. Like, he just sometimes just wails. I don't know how to describe it. This fight could easily go either way, but with all the weirdness surrounding Kraus, Glory Hole, it's hard to say that it didn't or won't affect Moreno coming into this one. I like Figueiredo, especially at dog money. It's a 50-50 fight. So if you're betting on the fight, why wouldn't you bet like over 2.5, over 3.5, and then bet the dog? Like, it just makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's a really hard fight to call. I mean, I've been kind of juggling it back and forth because they're so evenly matched. You know, they both have things that are better than the other one. You know, Brandon Moreno, I think he's got more tools than Figueiredo. I also think he's much faster. He's younger, less wear and tear, less horrible weight cut. Figueiredo is now 35. He's only fought Moreno. He's only fought Brandon Moreno in the last 3 years, you know, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And now he's got to fight him again, you know, for a fourth time. And Figgy's what, 4-1 as a champion. His only loss is to Brandon Moreno. Yeah. So it's just crazy. And then, but then you also look at Brandon Moreno's side. He went up against Kai Car France. It was arguably 1-1 going into that third round. And if he didn't finish Kai Car France in that third round, he probably was down 2-1 to Kai Car France going into the fourth. So you know, it's really hard to call. Brandon Moreno's now training at is he training at Factory X? No, Fortis MMA with Saif Saud. That's where he's training now. So at least he goes from one good coach to another good coach. He's not going, you know, to a lesser, and I feel like they're gonna get him ready. The Fortis MMA's got a plethora of guys that he's training with over there, so I think it's going to be game ready. Like I said, I've been tossing this up. Well, on the All-Star, we were talking about it. I lean Figueiredo. Now I'm thinking about it. Now I'm kind of leaning Moreno. It's really tough. I'm not going to bet a side here, honestly. But if I had to choose, I'd probably go with the Moreno side just because it's got that youth, man. And it's going to come down to that youth, really. I really do. But I'm going to take the under 4.5 rounds here at +1. I think someone's going to finish in this fight. It's going to be a definitive win for either one of these two. Someone's getting a finish in this fight. It's not going to be a fucking another bullshit split decision. Everybody's like,
Wouldn't it be something if it was?
I don't want that. Let's get a finish, man. Let's see a finish. I want a finish on either side. One of those boys are getting a finish. Either way, let's see it. I love it. And let's put this shit to bed.
if it does go all five rounds, I feel like, you know, we've came this far. They need to just attack on another round, a sudden death.
Yeah, no, I like that. Just 60 more seconds.
Let's do something.
All right. So we're finally up to our main event. The light heavyweight championship is on the line between Glover Teixeira and Jamahal Hill. Right now, Hill is a -140 favorite to come back on Teixeira +120. What do you got?
These odds boggle my mind, man. Like, seriously, like, considering that Glover was able to take Jiří down, I don't see Hill being able to stop it, you know, for an entire fight. While I think Hill is an amazing talent, I think he belongs here. He's surging. I just can't fathom a world. Hey, I'm using your word. I can't fathom a world where Glover doesn't get his hand raised. I mean, the last time Hill faced a BJJ guy, he got his arm broken. And while I don't think Glover will break Hill's arm, I do think Glover is the side. I'm assuming he gets Hill to the ground, you know, eventually gets him to the ground, and either Glover takes the neck or ground and pounds Hill to an inside the distance victory. I just don't see it going any other way. I like Glover inside the distance, but I do think he gets it by submission. He's not going to make the same mistake he made with Yuri. He's not going to pull guard. He's going to find the neck and he's going to choke him out.
Yeah, you know, Glover's always going to be an underdog. You know, he's 42, 43 years old, you know, wear and tear, and he's not the young gun that's knocking everybody out. It's just the way it goes. I mean, that's just always going to happen on the sports books. The sports books are not going to side with him, and rightfully so, because all the bettors are going to go with the guy that's, what, 10 plus years younger, and he's got the knockout powers, knocking everyone dead. You know, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to go with the young guy like that. But you also, you got to look back at the Yuri fight. Other than that fucking mishap, right?
Yeah, was, I know, man.
He was dominating that fight. Like, on the mat. He was beating Yuri on the feet. Like, he was beating him in that fifth round on the feet. And somehow he goes and goes to the ground for no reason. Mental lapse. I don't know what it was, but that if that fight went to the decision, Glover would have won.
Yeah.
Glover would have won. And then, you know, Hill's taking this fight on only a month's notice to go against arguably the best grappler that he's faced in his entire career. Grappler, in terms of wrestling and jiu-jitsu, right? And then look at what Glover has been doing in his last three fights in terms of his grappling. 11 takedowns landed, 30 takedowns attempted, 37% accuracy, 1.46 takedowns attempted per minute, and one takedown landed every 4 minutes and 28 seconds. So he's going to have to go out there and defend relentless takedowns. Glover attempted 17 takedowns against Yuri Prochazka. What do you think is going to happen if he attempts 17 takedowns against Hill? It's not going to be good. And you look at Hill, right? He's only faced two fighters that attempted more than one takedown. And in both of those fights, he gave up 12 takedowns total, 6 to Thiago Santos and 6 to Darko Stošić. So why don't people think that Glover could take him down? I understand there's the power, the speed, and all that good stuff. But Glover has not been knocked down since 2017. He's had 9 fights since then. He just fought Yuri Prochazka for almost 25 minutes. Didn't get knocked down. He got robbed, don't get me wrong, but he always does. And then he was able to battle through it. When you have someone like Alex Pereira in your corner helping you out, get ready for strikers like Hill, it helps that much more. He was able to get him ready for Yuri Prochazka, who throws crazy unorthodox strikes, right? Now he gets a super basic striker in Hill. It's super, super basic. Doesn't mean it's bad, but he knows what's coming. You know, the kicks, the straight punches, the power, the length, everything that Alex Pereira can easily imitate, easily will be able to help him maneuver his way out of harm's way against a power puncher like Hill. Hill has the ability to knock anybody out with one punch, especially in the first round. But ultimately, I got to go my old man, Glover Teixeira, getting it done yet again. But my strategy here is bet him after round one because Hill is the most dangerous in rounds one and two. Once it leaves round one and two, I think Glover's opportunities rise drastically to get it done. And plus, I think that first round is really going to be telling. Can Glover take a shot from Hill, right? we're going to see if Hill's power is like Francis Ngannou power, which people are kind of expecting it to be here. So that's why I would say to kind of just wait and see, watch, and then lie that Glover after round one, because you're going to get a better price, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm taking Glover to win, but I'm also going to bet him after round one. I'm not going to bet him right now because I don't think there's enough value at plus 120. Give me Glover to win, and I'm betting his ass after round one.
See, I'm going to bet him now, and I'll tell you why. The reason is because if he gets that takedown in round one, I mean, and he keeps him down, let's say, if he keeps him down, yeah, you're going to have a really shitty line.
I'm going to take that risk. Those are the risks you have to take, right? It's just something for me that,
I get it.
Where is it?
Because that is when Hill, I mean, if Hill wins, he's going to win in round one or round two, like you said.
Yeah, David is asking, what is Hill to win in round one? Well, Hill to win in round one, TKO or knockout, is plus 340 to plus 410.
So
you can also hedge yourself too if you wanted to, but I feel Hill is definitely most dangerous to get a knockout in that first round.
I just don't see it happening. I mean, considering who all Glover has faced.
Right.
And been, I mean, I know, like you said, he's been rocked, but yeah, I just don't see it happening. I feel like if Thiago Santos couldn't do it, or not Thiago Santos.
Yuri Prochazka, Anthony Smith. Yuri Prochazka has 25 knockouts, and you're trying to tell me this man couldn't knock him out? And then Hill is going to be able to?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, I mean, granted, Hill's got power. I'm not saying he doesn't. But you're talking about a guy that's knocked out 25 people. 25 fighters. 25 human beings he's knocked out. And he was not able to knock out Glover, who's 43 years old. On his last legs, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, we got Yan, Thiago Santos, Anthony Smith.
Yeah, bro. Like, Anthony Smith's not a power puncher, but he's had power punchers since getting knocked out by Alexander Gustafsson back in 2017. Nine fighters. Wild. Nine fights since then. But yeah, I mean, it's not a walk in the park. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be dicey no matter what. But I would take a shot on the dog rather than laying, the juice on the guy that was seventh ranked and his best win is Johnny Walker, I guess. Or Thiago Santos, maybe. I don't know. But Forrest Daniels is saying Jesse just broke the internet with his prediction.
It's because I'm a capper.
That's it. A capper. Or a crapper. Who knows?
Yeah.
And he's like, I agree 100% with you on Glover. The only question is, for Glover, the only thing in question for Glover is his war with Yuri. Mm-hmm. That is true. We'll see if Father Time is undefeated this weekend, pretty much. If he still stays undefeated, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I wonder if he loses, if he'll retire.
No.
Yeah, you don't think so?
No. And well, unless it's a really devastating knockout, then maybe. But if he definitely wins, he ain't retiring.
I know that.
He wants that Yuri rematch for sure.
Yeah, and then retire.
But all right, guys. It was a late night show, but we got through it. We appreciate you all being here with us.
Under an hour, too.
Under an hour. 15 fights under an hour. No one could do it like us. Remember that.
Ask my wife.
You can't do it like us, but we'll be back, not next week, the following week for more UFC Vegas, I think 68. That's going to be a good one there. But yeah, guys, please go to Prize Picks, use promo code PROPSLIVE for 100% deposit up to $100. Prize Picks is fun. It's either more than, less than on player props, especially for MMA. It's great. Go takedowns, fantasy scores, significant strikes landed. It's a good time. It keeps you invested as well. You go 6 for 6, you win 20 times your money. 5 for 5, you win 10 times your money. It's good there. Good money. It's fun. Keeps you invested. And guys, head over to and subscribe to the Playmaker Podcast Network on YouTube, and also follow them all on all social platforms as well. We will see you guys next time. Thank you all. We are out of here. Adios. 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 It's gonna be dancing this way out. Dance my way out. Oh yeah.